Hello friends, we are now going to see chapter 5 of the Negotiable Instrument Act. This deals with bill of exchange. What do you understand by a bill of exchange? A bill is a bill. A bill is something. When we go to buy something in a shop, he gives us a bill. It indicates the cost of the items that are purchased. This bill has nothing to do with that bill. In the Negotiable Instrument Act, when we are talking of a bill of exchange, here it is something where the money is to be paid in exchange for some services rendered or something bought, something purchased, something sold. So here it's a different document altogether from the normal word bill that we understand. So, don't get confused with that normal bill. Here, a bill is altogether different. A bill of exchange is defined in the Negotiable Instrument Act as to what it is exactly convey, what it means, and what are the implications. Now, Section 5 of the Negotiable Instrument Act gives the definition. It says that a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing containing an unconditional order signed by the maker directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only to or to the order of a certain person or to the bearer of the instrument. See, the definition is so long. Ab padhte padhte confuse ho gaye ki kahan se shuru kiya kahan gaye. Don't worry about all these things. Now, what you should do is to understand the definition clearly and understand what it really means. Just break it up into small, small portions and read the definition once again, bit by bit. See, the definition says it is an instrument in writing. So, obviously, it is something which has to be a written document. Okay? It contains an unconditional order. So, that means somebody is telling somebody do this. And when he says do this, no conditions attached, no strings attached. Unconditional order. Signed by the maker. So, since it's a written document, the one who is writing it, the one who is making this document, preparing the document or giving birth to the document, he has to sign it. Signed by the maker. Directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only. Stop here. Don't go beyond money only. In the beginning it says it is an unconditional order. So, an order issue is issued normally by one person to another. So, now what is that person doing? Directing the certain person, asking a particular person to do something. What is that? To pay a certain sum of money only. So, the unconditional order is going from one person to another person. It says, please pay to somebody. So, he is directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only. Some amount is to be paid. A particular amount, certain sum of money only. And when they say money only, it means it is only money, nothing else. Sirf paisa dena hai, baaki koi kaam nahi karna hai, koi service render nahi karni hai. It is the instruction to pay a certain sum of money only to or to the order of a certain person. Again, stop here. To a certain person or to the order of a certain person. Order here means his instructions, his endorsements or to the bearer of the instrument. You pay to the particular individual whose name appears on it or you pay to the bearer of the instrument. So, now when you break up the definition into pieces and then read bit by bit, you will understand a little extra. Once you read the full definition, nothing goes into the head. Now, start reading little by little. Now, once again, a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing containing an unconditional order signed by the maker directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only to or to the order of a certain person or to the bearer of the instrument. I think now a little clarity has come into the picture. Something that a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing. It is signed by the maker, and the person who has signed it is asking somebody to pay to somebody else a certain sum of money. Now, this definition in the Negotiable Instrument Act is actually based on the definition given in Bill of Exchange Act of England. See, the entire act, Negotiable Instrument Act, has been written and formulated on the basis of Bill of Exchange Act in England. India was ruled by the British government in those days. So, all the acts enacted in India were based on the acts prevalent in England at that time. And those people only wrote the acts for India as applicable to Indian land. So, here in Bill of Exchange Act of England, the definition is worded in a slightly different manner. There the definition says that a bill of exchange means an unconditional order in writing addressed by one person to another, signed by the person giving it, requiring the person to whom it is addressed to pay on demand or at a fixed rate, or determinable future time, a sum certain in money or to the order of a specified person or to the bearer. Now, when you read this definition and now you go back to the definition given in Negotiable Instrument Act, you will understand that the definition given in Negotiable Instrument Act is much easier and has more clarity. You read this definition. Now, go back to the definition given in Negotiable Instrument Act. So, see friends, the Negotiable Instrument Act gives a definition of what is a bill of exchange. Section 5 deals with the definition of a bill of exchange. Section 5 of this Negotiable Instrument Act says that a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing containing an unconditional order signed by the maker directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only to or to the order of a certain person or to the bearer of the instrument. Now, when you read this definition, such a lengthy definition, so many lines and so many ifs and buts, such a complicated sentence, you get confused. You feel, oh my God, ye kya definition hai? How do I remember all this? Don't worry, what you have to do is break it into bits and pieces and then look at the definition once again. Now, let us go back to the starting of the definition and take it portion by portion. Don't go in toto as to what is this definition. Take it in small portion. The Act says that a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing. Now, when you say it is an instrument in writing, that means it is something mentioned, put it in writing on a piece of paper or whatever. And what does it contain? It contains an unconditional order. Unconditional order implies that somebody is giving some instruction to somebody else. And those instructions are such that no conditions attached, no strings attached, that you will do this only subject to so and so. No. So, no conditions are mentioned. It is an unconditional order signed by the maker. Jo instructions de raha hai, wo sign karega niche. So, it has to be signed by the maker. Directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only. Now, in the beginning, when we say it is an unconditional order, the word order indicates that somebody is giving some instruction to somebody. So, there are two people, one person instructing another person. So, yahan pe kya kehta hai? Directing a certain person. So, the person, the maker, the one who has signed the instrument, he is asking one person, somebody else, asking him to do something. What is he asking him to do? Directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only. To pay. So, he is asking the person, please pay to so and so. Pay what? Pay a certain sum of money only. यानी पैसा देना है, बाकी कुछ नहीं. काम करो, सर्विस करो, नो सच थिंग. इट सेज ओनली पे टू सो एंड सो अमाउंट. टू पे अ सर्टन सम ऑफ मनी ओनली टू और टू द ऑर्डर ऑफ अ सर्टन पर्सन. टू और टू द ऑर्डर ऑफ अ सर्टन पर्सन. तो अभी क्या हुआ, तीसरा व्यक्ति आ गया पिक्चर में. द पर्सन हु साइनिंग द बिल, ही इज द मेकर ऑफ द बिल, ही इज आस्किंग समबडी टू पे मनी टू समबडी एल्स. सो द थर्ड पर्सन. सो यू पे टू द थर्ड पर्सन और टू हिज ऑर्डर. ही मे इंडिकेट समबडी एल्स. सो टू पे टू अ सर्टन पर्सन और टू द ऑर्डर ऑफ दैट सर्टन पर्सन और टू द बेरर ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट. सो विथ ऑल दीज ब्रोकन पीसेस एंड देन यू ब्रिंग देम टूगेदर, यू गेट द बिग डेफिनेशन. नाउ वेन यू लुक एट इट, आई डोंट थिंक इट विल बी सो कंफ्यूजिंग. यू विल बी एबल टू हैव क्लैरिटी ऑन द डेफिनेशन. सो नाउ लेट अस गो बैक टू द डेफिनेशन वंस अगेन. अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज इज एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट इन राइटिंग कंटेनिंग एन अनकंडीशनल ऑर्डर, मीन्स देर आर नो कंडीशंस अटैच्ड, साइंड बाय द मेकर, डायरेक्टिंग अ सर्टन पर्सन टू पे अ सर्टन सम ऑफ मनी ओनली टू और टू द ऑर्डर ऑफ अ सर्टन पर्सन और टू द बेरर ऑफ द इंस्ट्रूमेंट. सो नाउ यू हैव अंडरस्टूड समथिंग दैट इट इज एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट इन राइटिंग एंड इट इज आस्किंग समबडी टू पे टू समबडी एल्स सम मनी. सो अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज इज एन इंस्ट्रूमेंट विच सेज मिस्टर बी प्लीज पे टू सी. ए इज आस्किंग बी टू पे टू सी. Pay what? Pay some amount. See, the Negotiable Instrument Act was framed in 1981, but actually it was drafted before that. When it was being drafted, they relied more on the Bill of Exchange Act of England. In 19th century, India was ruled by England. So all the laws prevalent in England were applicable in India. Then they started modifying each and every act to suit the Indian conditions. So when the Negotiable Instrument Act was formed, written down, enacted, it relied on the provisions contained in Bill of Exchange Act of England. Now what is the definition of a bill or bill of exchange in England law? There a bill is defined as an unconditional order in writing addressed by one person to another, signed by the person giving it, requiring the person to whom it is addressed to pay on demand or at a fixed rate or determinable future time a sum certain in money or to the order of a specified person or to the bearer. Now when you read this definition, I'm sure you're going to get much more confused. This definition does not have that clarity which is available in Negotiable Instrument Act. Negotiable Instrument Act has taken care of the complicated language in this act and made it more simple. So now when you go back to that definition in Negotiable Instrument Act, you will understand that now this definition is somewhat easy to understand, where it says it is an instrument in writing containing an unconditional order. Signed by the maker, directing a certain person to pay a certain sum of money only to or to the order of a certain person or to the bearer of the instrument. Abhi jab ye definition padhenge, after reading the definition of bill of exchange in England Act, I think this is now more clear. It is somewhat easy to understand. This definition, the Bill of Exchange mentioned in Bill of Exchange Act of England, the same provisions are there, the same things are mentioned: unconditional order in writing addressed by one person to another, asking him to pay a certain sum of money only. But you know, the way the sentence is framed here, it's a little, kya bolte hain, thoda mushkil hai samajhne mein. इतनी आसानी से दिमाग में घुसता नहीं है. बट वेर इज द डेफिनेशन गिवन इन नेगोशियबल इंस्ट्रूमेंट एक्ट इज क्वाइट सिंपल एज कंपेयर टू दिस. सो वॉट वी हैव अंडरस्टूड नाउ विद द डेफिनेशन, इन अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज देर आर बेसिकली थ्री पार्टीज, द वन हु इज प्रिपेयरिंग द बिल, द वन हु इज साइनिंग इट, द पर्सन टू हुम ही इज एड्रेसिंग, एंड द पर्सन टू हुम ही इज आस्किंग द सेकेंड पार्टी टू पे द मनी. सो द फर्स्ट वन द ड्रॉअर, ही इज द पर्सन हु मेक्स द बिल एंड इश्यूज द इंस्ट्रक्शंस टू मेक द पेमेंट. सो द ड्रॉअर ऑफ द बिल, ही इज द ओरिजिनेटर, ही इज द क्रिएटर, ही इज गिविंग बर्थ टू द बिल. द बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज इज क्रिएटेड बाय द मेकर, सो ही इज द ड्रॉअर ऑफ द बिल. देन कम्स द ड्रॉई, ही इज द पर्सन टू हुम द ड्रॉअर इज एड्रेसिंग, मिस्टर बी प्लीज पे, मिस्टर एक्स वाई जेड प्लीज पे. सो ही इज द पर्सन हु इज इंस्ट्रक्टेड टू पे एंड हु ऑन अफिक्सिंग हिज सिग्नेचर ऑन द बिल बिकम्स एन एक्सेप्टर. एक बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज बना दिया और मिस्टर ए इज आस्किंग मिस्टर बी टू पे टू सी. वेन दिस इंस्ट्रूमेंट कम्स इन टू द हैंड्स ऑफ मिस्टर बी, ही विल राइट ऑन इट ओके आई एम विलिंग टू पे. वेन ही इज सेइंग आई एम विलिंग टू पे, आई एक्सेप्ट दिस रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी, आई एक्सेप्ट दिस लायबिलिटी, ही बिकम्स एन एक्सेप्टर. सो अ ड्रॉई विल बी एन एक्सेप्टर वेन ही साइंस ऑन द बिल. द थर्ड पर्सन इज द पेई, he is the person to whom or to his order the bill is payable. He is the one who is going to get the benefit, who is going to receive the payment. So the payee is the person who will get the money under the bill. So the basic three parties are the drawer of the bill, who is preparing the instrument and who is signing it, then the drawee of the bill, the person who has to make the payment, the person to whom the bill of exchange is addressed to, and the third person, the third party is the payee. The payee is the one who is going to receive the payment. The payment will come from the drawee to the payee. Now the drawee, once he signs on the bill of exchange, yes, I accept the responsibility of making the payment, he also becomes an acceptor. So, acceptor is not a separate party to the bill, he is the drawee. It could be a separate party, we'll see that later. See, it is not necessary now what we saw, that basically a bill of exchange should have three parties, the drawer of the bill, the drawee of the bill and the payee of the bill. But sometimes a bill of exchange can be such that there are only two parties. So, one single person does the role of two parties. It is possible that the drawee and the payee may be the same person. So the money is paid by the drawee to himself. Now, over and above these three basic parties, there are a few others who are also involved in a bill of exchange. Now, who are these people? The acceptor. The acceptor is the one who is accepting the bill. He is accepting the bill means he is accepting the responsibility cast. He is accepting the liability to make the payment. So he says, yes, I am willing to make the payment. He may not write so exactly in those words on the bill. The bill of exchange is worded, Mr. B, please pay to Mr. C a sum of rupees so much or to his order. Now when Mr. B receives this bill in his hands, he will sign on the top, accepted, and sign and put the date. After he signs, he becomes an acceptor. So the acceptor is one who accepts the bill. Normally it is the drawee who is accepting it. But in a few cases it can be an outsider who is going to accept it. A stranger may accept, a third person, a person not connected with the basic ingredients of the bill, he may accept, then the drawee and the acceptor are two different people. So, an acceptor is an additional party to a bill of exchange over and above the drawer, drawee and payee. Then comes the holder. See, Section 8 of the Negotiable Instrument Act states that a holder of a negotiable instrument is one who is entitled in his own name to the possession of the instrument. Holder means, we have seen under the various parties to a negotiable instrument, a holder. A holder is one who possesses the instrument, who has got hold of the instrument. He is entitled to own it, possess it, and he is also entitled to the payment of the instrument. Likewise, in the bill of exchange, a holder is somebody who has the possession and who is entitled to get the payment. So, the holder can be the payee or the holder can be a payee's endorsee. The payee has endorsed it in favor of somebody else and gives the instrument to him. That person becomes the holder. So, a holder of a negotiable instrument is one who is entitled in his own name to the possession of the instrument and to receive or recover the amount due thereon from the parties concerned. He is entitled not only to hold the instrument but also to receive the amount. So, he is a person who is legally entitled to get the payment. It is not received by him because he has stolen it or because he just found it lying on the street. He is really entitled to own it and he is entitled to get the payment also. In that case, he is a holder of the instrument. Now, a holder in due course. A holder in due course is a person who for consideration becomes the possessor of a promissory note, bill of exchange or check. In the case of bill of exchange, we restrict it to bill of exchange. A holder in due course is somebody who has made a financial deal, who has entered into a transaction and parted with some goods or given a loan, and that is why he is going to get the payment. And he is entitled to receive the payment because of some act which he has done, some act financially, financial act. For that he is going to get the payment, he is a holder in due course. Endorser. He is the holder of the instrument who endorses the bill in favor of another person. Now, a bill of exchange we saw is made by the drawer on the drawee asking him to pay to the payee. Now, the payee has to in turn make payment to somebody else. What he does is he will simply endorse this bill in favor of someone else. He doesn't pay cash from his own pocket, instead he transfers this bill to that other party. Piche sign kar deta hai aur kehta hai ki pay to so and so. What he has done by doing signing at the back and writing pay to so and so, he has endorsed it in favor of that other party. This endorsement in favor of the other party makes that other party the endorsee. So, endorser is one who is endorsing, who is transferring his benefits, his rights to another person. So, he is the endorser, and endorsee is the one who is going to receive those benefits, who is going to receive the payment from the payer. So, endorser is the holder of the instrument who endorses the bill in favor of another person, another party. Endorsee is the person in whose favor the bill is endorsed by the endorser. Uske favor mein ab paisa aane wala hai. So, he is going to receive the ultimate benefit. A drawee in case of need. Now, a bill of exchange has got a drawer, drawee, payee, basic people involved. The drawee is liable for making the payment to the payee. Now, suppose the drawee says, no, I can't pay. And I am not in a position to pay. He may not say today, he may say it on a future date. Sorry, I can't pay. So, ye possibility hai, isliye what the drawer does, pehle hi wo ek aur naam dal deta hai. Drawee in case of need. So, suppose in the bill or in any endorsement, subsequent endorsement thereon, the name of any additional person is given over and above the drawee's name to whom we can resort to in case of need. Such a person is called the drawee in case of need. मान लो ड्रॉई कहता है कि भैया मैं तो नहीं पे कर सकता हूं, तो ड्रॉअर सेज ओके इफ बी इज नॉट इन अ पोजिशन टू पे टू सी देन लेट मिस्टर एक्स पे टू सी. सो एक्स बिकम्स ड्रॉई इन केस ऑफ नीड. एक्स विल टेक अप द रेस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी इन केस बी सेज नो आई कान मैनेज आई कान पे. सो इन केस ऑफ नीड इफ द सिचुएशन अराइजेस इफ द नीड अराइजेस देन एक्स विल पे. X will take up the liability. So he is a person who comes into the picture when the drawee is unable to meet his commitment. The drawee in case of need is referred to by the holder when the drawee refuses to accept the bill or the bill is dishonored due to non-payment after acceptance. Drawee may initially say, sorry bhaiya, main to nahi pay kar sakta hoon, ya fir usne accept kar liya, okay, I will pay. I'll pay on the due date. But maybe 1 month after that, he says, nahin, nahin, abhi to mujhse nahin hoga. So on a subsequent date, he says, no, I can't pay. I don't have the financial means to pay. Ya mere paise atak gaye kahin to bhi. Ab main ye nahin de sakta hoon. So then he will mention somebody else. So the drawee in case of need can be mentioned initially itself or he can be mentioned subsequently. Now the drawee has accepted his acceptance, he has given his commitment, subsequently he does not pay. I am not able to pay. So it is dishonored due to non-payment after acceptance. That time also someone else will come and say, I am accepting the liability. So he is an acceptor after non-acceptance, or I mean non-payment after the acceptance. So the drawee in case of need can be referred by the holder when the drawee refuses to accept or does not pay after accepting. See, a drawee in case of need, in normal trade transactions, we don't require a drawee in case of need. You require a drawee in case of need in mostly foreign bills. When a bill is to be paid in a foreign country, that person who is in the foreign country who is going to receive the payment may or may not have full faith in the people in our country. India mein jo vyakti promise kar raha hai, usko kya pata hai ki uski kya standing hai, whether he is wealthy enough to make the payment, whether he has got that much of financial status to make the payment. So he says, no, I don't trust you. I want somebody else to give me this commitment. तो यहां पे जो ड्रॉअर है ही विल हैव अ रिप्रेजेंटेटिव और एन एजेंट इन द फॉरेन कंट्री. यहां पे ड्रॉई ने एक्सेप्ट कर लिया, ड्रॉअर हैज गिवन इंस्ट्रक्शंस टू ड्रॉई टू मेक टू पेमेंट टू द पेई इज फॉरेन कंट्री, ही हैज टू रिसीव द पेमेंट. सो सिंस ही इज नॉट सेटिस्फाइड, ही इज नॉट हैप्पी विद द नेम ऑफ द ड्रॉई मेंशन इन द बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज, he says, I want additional commitment. So the drawer says, okay, this is the drawee in case of need. He is Mr. XYZ, who is also in the foreign country, the same country where the payee is. And the payee now will feel happy, huh? This person living in my own country, he is giving me assurance. He is giving me the commitment that I will get the payment. So a drawee in case of need is required more so in the case of foreign bills. Normally, an agent of the drawer in a foreign country where the bill is payable will be the drawee in case of need in those bills. So, in a foreign transaction, in a foreign bill, you will mainly have drawee and drawee in case of need. Normal Indian transactions, day-to-day business, we usually will not have a drawee in case of need. If at all, the drawee in case of need may come into the picture on a subsequent date, जब ड्रॉई डिसऑनर करता है तो सम क्लोज रिलेटिव, बड़े भैया, पिताजी, चाचा जी का, ये लोग आएंगे और कहेंगे कि ठीक है हम कमिटमेंट लेते हैं एंड वील पे. देन वी हैव एक्सेप्ट फॉर ऑनर. इफ अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज हैज बीन नोटेड एंड प्रोटेस्टेड फॉर नॉन एक्सेप्टेंस और फॉर बेटर सिक्योरिटी, एनी अदर पर्सन में एक्सेप्टेड. नाउ सी यू हैव अ बिल ऑफ एक्सचेंज. in the bill of exchange, there is a drawee and the payee, the basic three parties. Drawee ne accept kar liya, yes, I am ready to pay the amount. Baad mein jaake payment default ho gaya. He has not made the payment on the due date. The bill is dishonored. Once the bill is dishonored, it has to be noted. It has to be noted by the notary. And it will be also protested. Protest means a certificate given by the notary saying that this so and so bill has been dishonored because of non-acceptance or because of non-payment after acceptance. Us situation mein, if somebody else steps in and says, I am ready to accept, please don't go to the court, don't file any suit. Main accept karta hoon liability and I will pay to you after 1 month or 2 months. So he is an acceptor for honor. He wants to protect the honor of the family. He wants to protect the honor of the firm, of the business entity. And so he says, are bhaiya, please suit file mat karo, I am ready to do it. I'll accept my responsibility, I'll pay instead of this person. So he is an acceptor for honor. He will commit, I will honor the payment. I will make the payment. I will give you the payment on the due date. Don't desert him, then don't file any suit against him. The acceptor for honor accepts the commitment because he wants to save the honor of the drawer or of any other endorsers. As I said, mostly family member honge, yeah, partnership firm mein other partners. One person has failed to pay, so the other person takes up the responsibility, the liability and promises to pay. So he is accepting his liability supra protest. Supra protest means after the protest. Noting and protest is done and after that he is accepting, so he is an acceptor for honor. Now let us see what are the characteristics of a bill of exchange. We have seen that a bill of exchange is an instrument in writing asking somebody to make payment to somebody else. And payment has to be only in money. So the definition says it's an unconditional order in writing, directing a certain person to pay to somebody else a certain sum of money. Now all these definitions give rise to various characteristics of a bill. Now what are these characteristics? The bill of exchange has to be in writing. The first portion of the definition, it says it has to be in writing. It may be written in any language. Language is immaterial. Hindi, English, Urdu, Marathi, Gujarati, Bengali, Tamil, Punjabi or foreign language, Greek, Roman, Latin, they are all bills valid as long as it is in writing. And once it is in writing, since the language is immaterial, the words are also not specified. Ki this word has to be included, this word should not be included, aisa koi condition nahi hai. The words are not specified, there is no specification about the language. It may be in any language and any words may be used. There is no set format for a bill of exchange. Aisa nahi hai ki it should be on A4 size paper, that it should be only in landscape pattern or vertical pattern or horizontal, aisa kuch bhi nahi hai. There is no set pattern, there is no set format and there is no specification about the words. But the gist of the bill of exchange should be brought out. See, whatever is mentioned in the definition, the contents, that should be produced in the contents, in the matter written in the bill of exchange. A bill of exchange is asking somebody to pay to somebody. So those instructions, those words should be there. You may actually use any word. Instruction, order, ye sab alag alag shabd hain, they can be used. But the main purpose of the bill of exchange should be served. It is an order to pay. There has to be an order. The drawer of the bill is asking the drawee to pay. Yahan pe, you know, the word order does not mean command, like a military order, military command. Vaisa nahi hai. Order means simply a direction, pay to somebody. It is a request. It is an instruction. Mr. B, please pay to Mr. C. So, order does not mean a command. It is just a direction, an instruction to the drawee to pay to the payee. It is an order, but it is an unconditional order. Kyunki definition mein this word is mentioned, unconditional. So, it is an unconditional order. The order must be unconditional. There are no conditions attached, there are no strings attached. Yadi hum conditions dalenge, to the bill jo hai, jahan pe payment ka sawal hai, payment will get done away with. Nobody will pay when conditions are put. They will look for excuses. Ki nahi ye kaam nahi hua, isliye main payment nahi dunga. Ye nahi hua, isliye nahi payment dunga. So when these conditions are put, the payment gets delayed or it is altogether forfeited. So, isiliye the law takes care of the payee and protects his interest, and it says, please do not put conditions. When you are giving it to him in writing, you are doing it for his benefit, usme conditions mat dalna. Don't put conditions. So, it has to be an unconditional order, and the bill is to be honored at all events. Aap usme ye nahi likhenge ki yadi barsat hui to payment hoga. बरसात 10 इंच का पानी बरसा तो ही पेमेंट होगा. यू विल नॉट राइज दैट इफ इट इज अ सनी डे आई विल मेक द पेमेंट. यू विल नॉट राइज दैट इफ माय सन गेट्स मैरिड बिफोर द एज ऑफ 29 आई विल पे. यू कैन नॉट पुट दीज कंडीशंस. एनी कंडीशन वेदर इट इज फुलफिलेबल और नॉट फुलफिलेबल, कंडीशन इज अ कंडीशन. कोई कंडीशन नहीं डालेंगे. सो एज लॉन्ग एज एन इंस्ट्रक्शन टू पे इज देयर एंड दैट इंस्ट्रक्शन does not have any conditions attached to it, it's valid. Once you put conditions, the bill of exchange becomes invalid. Koi condition nahi rahega. It cannot be contingent to the happening of any event. If you say that Mr. B will make payment to Mr. C only when B goes to England, don't put conditions. Mr. B may or may not go to England. You cannot put condition that Mr. B will make payment to Mr. C only when he manufactures 10 leather suitcases. Ye bhi galat hai. He will manufacture 10 leather suitcases. Par kab karega, kitne dino mein karega, kitne mahino mein karega, saalo mein karega, pata nahi. Ya he may close down the business altogether and go. So he may or may not do it. You cannot put such conditions, whether they are fulfillable or not fulfillable. Don't link the payment to any happening of any event. The next requirement, definition mein likha hai, to be signed by the drawer. So, the signature of the drawer is a must on the instrument. The drawer has to sign that instrument. He is asking, the drawer is asking Mr. B pay to Mr. C. So, he has to put it in writing. He cannot give an oral instruction. It has to be in writing. He, after writing, he has to put his signature. Only then the written document gets sanctity. Otherwise, it's just a piece of paper which you can simply throw into the dustbin. It has no meaning, no validity, no sanctity. So, he has to sign the instrument. Any bill of exchange which does not have the drawer signature is ineffective. If there is no signature, the bill of exchange is not effective. It is not necessary that the bill of exchange is written by one person and it is signed by some other person. See, the person who has written it is immaterial. He may be my servant, he may be my employee, but I have to sign because I am the drawer of the bill. Handwriting may be different. Contents written by somebody, ink is different, the signature is different, ye sab chalta hai, but the signature is very important and the signature has to be a genuine signature which I always use in my normal business transactions. It cannot be a short form, just initial. It has to be my normal signature which I always use in any business transaction. The signature is required as per my normal business transaction. इसका ये मतलब नहीं है कि signature सिर्फ English में चाहिए. I may be putting the signature in Hindi or Marathi, or I may be putting the signature in my own mother tongue, which may be something different. The signature is very important. The language is not important. It has to be my signature as per my normal practice. I will be using the signature in all cases. So it is not that for bill of exchange I use a particular signature, for all other business transaction I have a different signature. Ye bhi theek nahi hai. I cannot have 3-4 different signatures. Because if I do that, I'll be jumping responsibilities, I'll be escaping liabilities. So law doesn't permit this. It has to be signed, and the signature should be the normal signature which I always use in my business transactions. The signature can be added subsequently after the bill is issued. This is allowed. Bill bana diya. I have even given it to the drawer. He has accepted it. After that I put my signature, it becomes a valid bill. But if stamping is required, then I have to get it stamped before I put my signature. Stamping law says that it has to be stamped before or at the time of execution. But Bill of Exchange Act or the Negotiable Instrument Act says that the bill can be signed even subsequently after it is issued. It's okay. What about illiterate people? Unko to sign karna aata nahi hai. They don't know to put their signature. So what will they do? They'll put their thumb impression. And that is a valid signature. A thumb impression, right hand, left hand, whichever, thumb. It is a valid signature as far as law is concerned. A thumb impression is permitted and it is valid.